Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Animation Show of Shows is an annual compilation of the year's best animated shorts shown around the world at animation festivals, curated to inspire others. The showcasing was created 19 years ago by Ron Diamond, producer and founder of Acme Filmworks Incorporated. The 16 videos being shown feature 2D and 3D animation and highlight multi-international and women filmmakers. A local event has been arranged by Ryan English. He's assistant professor of digital arts and design at Dakota State University, and he joins us to talk about the program and provide a preview. Ryan English, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
So just the trailer for the Animation Show of Shows is so exciting and enriching that it makes me want to show up for it. We can't show the trailer on radio. Tell us a little bit about these films and the diversity that's involved, the quality of the filmmaking. What's the big deal about the Animation Show of Shows?
Well, I think that the most important parts of animation and the Show of Shows is that animation is a bit of escapism. And we empathize with human emotion in these animated characters that are on the screen. And in doing so, it becomes a natural medium for abstract expression. And it allows us to find things that may seem ordinary, they become funny or inspired or thoughtful. I hope that animation engages us, and the quality on these films is it runs from the 2D, like you said, 2D to 3D, and I believe there's even some parts of stop motion where there's the frame-by-frame painstaking time where you just move a little bit and then take another shot, another image capture,
right,
so that you can create those that motion between the frames.
And is this the first time it's been brought to Dakota State? Has it happened before? Tell me about why bring it to Madison.
Well, we do have a digital arts and design program in Madison at Dakota State University, and I want this to be a little bit of an inspiration to the community and to my students and to all the students here, so that they can see something that's maybe a little bit bigger than our locality and see something that inspires them to try to reach a little bit further, reach for the stars. And yes, this is the first time at Dakota State, and I almost want to believe that this is also the first time in South Dakota.
Yeah.
I don't have that as a fact, but I believe that it is.
All right, let's, I think as a parent, just kids in school today, I mean, kindergartners have iPads now. Kids are coming into college in Dakota State and other places with a foundation of filmmaking just from doing school projects in a way that we didn't have when we were kids. But they probably, most likely, haven't taken it to that next level. Talk a little bit about just those basic skills that all kids kind of have, those and the inspiration to sort of kick them into, wait a minute, there's a whole lot more that I could be doing with some skills that I already know how to use.
That's a great question. The way I like to think about the skills that students come into school with is I like to think of things in the context of Legos. I think everybody's pretty familiar with Legos, and then I try to explain to the students as they come in the door that maybe they're used to playing with Duplos. Right, the big chunky ones that are for the kindergartners and the preschoolers, and that eventually, as we pursue a little bit more finer granularity and as we try to explore new ways of expression and new ways to make things move, we start to explore that Lego kit. And then after we've been doing it for 10, 15 years, start to become an artist after about 10 years or so, and then we might start working with those master sets that have the gears and the motors. And at that point, we almost free ourselves from the technical needs of animation, and we start to think a little bit in a little bit more abstract terms. But I think the students coming in out of school, actually in quite a few of the art classes that I've visited in high schools and middle schools, and the tools that are available online for students to start making animations and to start expressing themselves at a very young age have come leaps and bounds from iPads didn't even exist when I went to school. But it is an amazing growth that we're seeing in animation. And one of the things I like to point out is that animation is no longer, I think of cartoons as almost a derogatory term for animation. Sure. I think that animation is, it's matured, and we see grown-ups, and especially millennials, are consuming vast quantities of animation because it is a medium that transcends so many different, you know,
right.
factors.
So there's a technical component, obviously, you know, from, you know, how do you make this happen? But this is a huge artistic endeavor, too. How is Dakota State University trying to open the door for the artists as well as, you know, how do you encourage them to learn the technology? You need to, you know, have this this mastery, but also we need you to think like an artist who's ready to change the world.
That's an age-old question in education. How do we get students to both think and do? And I'm a big proponent of learning through creation, and learning through looking at how to emulate how others have done before us. And I think that trying to stand on the shoulders of giants is quite often said. But one of the things I like to tell my students is that when you stand on somebody's shoulders, make sure you don't step on their face. Because
right.
we don't want to take for granted what they have done for us before, and we want to be able to grasp these concepts of how we create empathy in a character, or how we can and get viewer buy-in to the story, and how quickly we can make these accessible to the viewer, how quickly they become invested in what's happening on screen. It is a very difficult thing to do, and it is that's where the thinking comes in.
Right.
And so not only do we have the students take classes that are strictly in animation, but there's also classes that we talk about rhetoric and English classes in rhetoric, and we also make sure that they understand the social sciences, the psychology and sociology. Those type of classes are also required by our students.
Talk about, you know, when we talk about the show of shows, some of these films are selected because of the impact they might have, and not just how they're created, but what they have to say. Put that in perspective for people that might know some of the great classic works of animation that had something big to say about the world. They weren't just, a kid's story.
Even if we go back to Bambi.
Sure.
I think it was in the early 40s that Bambi was released. And Bambi was talking a little bit about deforestation and how that affected Bambi's life, and how, you know, Bambi lost his mother in a forest fire or a deforestation type of incident. But that's how, yeah.
Bambi's mother got shot.
Well, his mother got shot, yeah. You know.
The fire did not get his mother. I remember
and then
this.
The fire was coming, yeah. And then the fire pushed him
okay,
out,
there was a fire, yes.
Yeah. I tried to forget about it. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that one up.
But no, even if you look at things like Pixar's WALL-E.
Yeah,
and
sure.
This type of, and the films that we're showing tonight also try to get at a couple different, you know, societal mm-hmm. issues or things that happen. One of the shows, one of the short films is called Hangman, and it is a reconstructed 1964 or 1965 film, and it's been, you know, brought back to life through the cleaning of the actual film and the rescanning of the film, and it has to do with people not speaking up when something bad is happening in their town.
Oh, wow.
So the hangman is going through and using his list, and no one stands up to him. And in the end, you know, if you just keep letting somebody take away, eventually there's nothing left.
Right.
So I think that's kind of
no one to stand up for you at the
right.
end.
You have to stand up for yourself, or there'll be no. You have to stand up for your neighbors, and who's going to be left to stand up for you if your neighbors are gone?
Yeah. So. This is at 7:00 in the Beacom Institute of Technology at Dakota State University. Is this for the community? Is it for students? How do you sort of see this affecting, you know, the Madison community now and in the future, possibly?
Well, for the students, I hope that it is for the students, and it is open to the community. I've tried to advertise it around town in the channels that I know how to. But I do hope that it does create a conversation, and it makes people think maybe these aren't just cartoons anymore, that animation is maturing as a medium, and that it is a valid way to communicate. I think that it's,
yeah.
It's, hopefully it disarms people and
right.
allows us to tackle difficult issues to talk about.
Tell me,
in a different context.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about your experience in the industry. What brought you to Dakota State, and how have you sort of worked in this industry in the past?
So, I think it was about 2004 that I left graduate school and I went off to work in what I call Hollyweird now, out in Los Angeles. And I was there for about 8 years, and I worked on the technical end of animation creation and visual effects and animation. And it was always an exciting time. You never knew what was going to be thrown at you the next minute or the next day. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, but before you know it, 8 years go by, and all of a sudden you start realizing that maybe there's something different that you're searching for. And so my company gave me the opportunity to move to Canada, and I moved up to Vancouver. I was there for 3 years, and I started doing these long commutes, and I was missing out on seeing my family. So really what brought me to education was to turn the corner, give back to the community that had done so much for me in becoming an animation professional, and turning back around and giving back to it. But I also, it was a selfish move at the same time so that I could see my family more. And it's been a great transition.
So we only have about a minute left, but I'm wondering, I remember when the movie Tangled came out, and interviews with the animators said, you know, when they started this movie, we said, just don't get the hair wet. We can't do that. And then, of course, they had her plunge in the water and get the hair wet. Then they had to solve that problem. What's the problem that you know, when you see a film that makes you excited as an animator from a technical level to say, oh, they solved that, or they, you know, the fur is looking better on the animals now, or, you know, what are some of those areas that you like to see leap forward?
Yeah, so the one thing that always catches me, and it might sound very mundane, but ropes. Anything that's a string or a rope, because a string and a rope can do so many things, and how do you solve for it to do all of those things in whatever film or whatever context it's being used in? How can you solve for the, you know, almost infinite possibilities that a rope can form?
Good stuff. All right. It's the Animation Show of Shows. It is tonight, 7 p.m. at the Beacom Institute of Technology at Dakota State University. Ryan English has been my guest. He's an assistant professor of digital arts and design, which is a program I did not know Dakota State University had. So you'll have to come back and tell us more about that in the future. Pretty much any time you see something leap forward or a movie is released, give us a call. We'll get you on the air.
That would be great.
Ryan English, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Lori.